The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Next Parasha is Parashas Yisro. In the Parasha, Perek Yud Ches Pasuk Yud Gimel. And it was the next day, and Moshe sat down to judge the people. And Moshe stood over the nation from morning till night. Now, this is speaking, it states in Mimachoros, Yisrael came the simple meaning of the Parsha would mean that Yisrael came right after the Yetzis Mitzrayim, the going out of Egypt, to the camp. But this would be speaking by Hima Mahoras on the day after the giving of the Torah, Rashi tells us, because Moshe wouldn't judge the people before the giving of the Torah. Now, when we say the day after the giving of the Torah, we mean Yom Kippur, because even though the Torah was given on Shavuos, but Moshe didn't have time to judge the people, because the day after the give, because when he came down from the mountain after 40 days after the giving of the Torah, that's when he had to judge the people for the golden calf. And then he went back up to the mountain, and then he went back up to the mountain a third time, and he never had time to judge the people then. So when it says Vayim Mochoros, it refers to the day after Yom Kippur. This was the first time that he was able to judge the people. And when we say Lishpat Asa'om, Mishpat means dinim, means to judge disputes. Disputes between man and his fellow man. Litigations. Monetary disputes. And he stood over the nation from morning till night. Rashi tells us he didn't actually stand there, sit there from morning till night, but he was busy. And Yisro, his father-in-law, saw everything that was happening. And he wasn't happy about it. And he asked Moshe, what's happening? And Moshe said, Ki yola elai om lidri shalakim, because the people come to seek out Elohim. Elohim is the name of Hashem, which refers to judgment. And it's also the name which is referred to the Bez Din. When there's a dispute between two people, if there was an accident and who should pay for it, or if there was a loan and there was a question as to how much was lent, or a business deal, whatever it might be. So they come and they want to know the halacha, they want to go follow in the ways of the Torah. So I have to teach them what the laws of the Torah are. And Yisro said, Nova tibol, tibol gam ato gam om azeh asherimach. He says, this can't go on because it's a large nation and you're an individual person, and you're going to totally wear yourself down, you and the nation, if they're going to have to wait for you each time, and you're going to have to judge them yourselves. Atosh mabekeli hi otzcho b'yelim imoch hi atolo omul lelehim ve'yvesa atos advorim elohim. He says, I'll give you some good advice and see if Hashem will agree to this. He said, you choose from all of the people, Anshe Chayil Yerekim, Anshe Emes Seini Votza. You choose from all the people, people of stature, people who fear Hashem, people of truth, people who are not interested in personal gain, because we don't want any corruption to be going on here. And you shall make them judges. And you shall make them sorei alofim, sorei meiros, sorei chamishim, sorei asores. They shall be judges. There will be one for every 1,000, and one for every 100 families, and one for every 50, and one for every 10. And if someone has a question, a dispute, so first he'll go to the judge, which is in charge of his group, and it'll be resolved there. If it cannot be resolved, then that judge will refer him to a judge which was appointed over the larger group. If it cannot be resolved there, it'll go to the judge over the larger group, and so on, until eventually it would have to come to the Beis Din HaGodol, the Supreme Court, Moshe Rabbeinu's court, which was he and his Shivim Zekenim, his 70, and the 70 elders. If you will do like this, and Hashem will agree to it, then you'll be able to carry on. And Moshe listened to him. He consulted with Hashem, and Moshe did this. Actually, this is the basis where the world learned from here the court system. And the minor courts, what you might call the magistrate courts, and the higher courts, the high court, and the supreme court, to the highest court in the land. This is your source for it. There's a question here. Why did Yisro have to come with this advice to Moshe? And Moshe could not think of this himself. Yisro was not wiser than Moshe Rabbeinu. I mean, it's good advice. It's good administration. But why wasn't Moshe able to think of this himself? The answer is as follows. This is what the Maharami Prag writes. We're dealing here with Mishpat. Mishpat and Dinim. These again are the disputes between man and his fellow man when it comes to property disputes, monetary disputes, and so forth. And the Mishpat is extremely, extremely deep. Fact is, the Torah writes, "Hamishpat le'elokim hu." The ultimate judgment in these areas belong to Hashem. The Gemara always refers to the umke d'dino, the enormous depths when it comes to these laws. And what makes these laws so difficult is because the Gemara says that a dayon, a judge, has to render a decision which is emes, the ultimate in truth, and even more, calls it emes la'amitoi, the ultimate truth in all aspects of the truth. And he has no room for flexibility to the right or to the left. And the reason for this is because when it comes to other types of exercises and other types of conducts, for example, ava, love, rachamim, compassion, stoko, charity, chesed, kindliness, person has a flexibility. A little more, a little less is not going to destroy it. But when it comes to Mishpat, Mishpat is the ultimate truth, and what is known as the ultimate yosher, what is upright. And if a person wanders from that to the right or to the left, then it's no longer dinu mishpot. It's not yosher anymore. It's not what's perfectly upright. And that's kilkul adin. That's a corruption. That's a destruction of the mishpot. And this is why the din is always compared to the cherev, the sword, the cutting of the sword. We have, for example, it states psak din. Psak means to cut. Or it states that the dayonim were chetchim es hadin, to cut. Because it has to be cut like a sword cuts at the exact right place. If it's a little too much, if you favor one party a little too much, or you favor the other party a little too much, you have been mekalkel the din. You have corrupted this din. Because the din is the etzem ayesha, it's the essence of what is upright. This actually was the quality of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is called in the Torah Ish Elokim. And as we mentioned, Elokim is the particular shame, the particular name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where he exercises din and mishpat. And Moshe was the greatest to ever be such a dayan. The fact is, he was the first Av Beis Din which we ever had. He was the Av Beis Din, or the Rosh Yeshiva, the head of the Sanhedrin, of the first Sanhedrin that we ever had. And his din was perfect. And there was no man that could come to that. And it was because of this that Moshe realized ki amishpat elokim, that true uprightness, true justice, comes from a very high level. It comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. He held he had no right to give this over to others, to delegate these powers to others, because they wouldn't be doing the job he was doing. There would be a little wandering from the perfect justice to the right or to the left, and you would be makalkel, you would destroy HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mishpat. And therefore he held he had to do it himself. Yisrael came along and he said, theoretically you're right, but that's an impossible level to maintain in this world. You could maintain that in a perfect world where everyone was like you, or there were more like you. But in this world, when the deen comes down to this world, and this is a world of imperfection, the ultimate injustice is going to be very hard to find. We have to seek it. We have to search for something which is as close as possible. But in this world, we must be prepared to give up a little. Therefore, he said, you must look for the best judges in Israel. They must be Anshei Chayil. They must be people who fear Hashem, who are people of truth, who hate gain. These type of people. They must be great chachomim. They must be people of repute and beyond question. But even though their deen cannot be perfect, that's the madrega, that's the level of this world. And you must give it over. Otherwise it will have nothing. They went and asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Yisro was right, and therefore he got the name Yeser, because he was Yita Pasha Achas B'Torah. He added Achidush, he added something new to the Torah. So this is what took place here. This is why we find in the beginning of Masechet Avos, Mishnah Beis, it writes, it begins with the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, and it states, Heim Omru Gimel Dvorim. They said three things. And the first thing that they taught was Hevi Misunim Bedin. You should be Misunim Bedin. Mosun means patient. You should be patient when it comes to rendering the Pshak Din, the judicial decisions. And now this we can ask. Firstly, what does it mean, Mishunim? You should be patient. They should have said better, you should be Misamek B'din. You should go in to the depths, to the very depths of the Din. You should study it carefully. Mishunim means patient. Secondly, according to the Pirkei Avos, Masechet Avos, this is the first thing they taught. It states that the Torah eventually was given over to the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, and then it says Hey Mamur Gimel Dvorim. They said three things, and this is the first thing they said. Why is this the first thing that they taught? The first lesson. Thirdly, we have a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Rashi brings it there. First perek Dav Zayin Amud Beis Dorish Bakapora Manohani Mili Domar Abonan Hevi Mesunim Medin. Where did the Chachomim learn out that you should be patient with judgments? Because it states, and this is at the end of Parshas Yisrael, the very last pasuk in Parshas Yisrael says Leisaleh Bemaleis Al Mizbechi, speaking about building the Mizbeach, the altar, and states you should not make steps to the altar. So when a person goes up to the altar, the Kahanim, they will not have to walk on steps. And then the next posuk, which is the next parsha, states Ve'ela Mishpotim Asher Tosim Lifnehem. These are the laws which you shall put before them. So from here we learn that a person should be Mesunim Bedin, he should be patient when it comes to judgment. Now this is something that needs explanation. What does one thing have to do with the other? The Maral explains as follows. The Deen, judgment, comes first. That's the first thing that we need. Why? If we look at the creation of the world, we'll see something quite strange. During the 7 days of creation, it states, Bereishis Bara Elokim. Hashem created the heavens and the earth. It calls them Elohim. The next pasuk, Ruach Elokim. The next pasuk, Vayim Elokim. The next pasuk, Vayar Elokim. Vayavdel Elokim. Vayikra Elokim. Vayim Elokim. Vayas Elokim. Vayikra Elokim. Vayim Elokim. Every pasuk, it uses the name Elohim. And this goes on all the way during the 7 days of Bereishis, including Shabbos. Vayechal Elohim, Vayimashvi. Hashem finished on the seventh day. Vayevorech Elohim. Hashem blessed the Yemashvi. And then it ends, because then he finished all of the work which he created to do. So during the whole 7 days of creation, the word, the name Elohim was used. Afterwards, in the very next pasuk, it states, Eles oldes hashemayim v'oretz biborom. These are the generations of the heaven and the earth when they were created. Biyom asais Hashem Elohim eretz v'shamayim. There's the first time is introduced Hashem's other name, the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, Hashem Elokim. Now, why isn't it? So Rashi tells us this. He says in Pasuk Aleph, why does it say Bereshis Bore Elokim Le'oma Bore Hashem Shebitchil Ola B'Machshava Livreisa B'Minas Adin? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with Mishpat, with Din. And as we mentioned, the name of Hashem that has to do with Din is Elokim. But then he saw that the world would not last if it was all in accordance to the strictness and uprightness of perfect law. So therefore he came and he brought compassion with it, v'shotfor, and he put it together, l'midas adin. And that's what it says later on, Hashem elokim eretz v'shamayim. That's what it says later on, that this is what he made with both his names, Hashem Elokim. So the first machshava, the first thought that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had was to create a world, a perfection, Din. The fact is, the Maaseh Bereishis is full with that, because the whole laws of nature are unbreakable laws. You try to break the laws of nature and you're in trouble. Everything has its cool. What is Din and Mishpat? Din and Mishpat is where everything has its boundaries. This is yours and this is mine. He's told exactly the waters where their boundaries are. He told the earth where their boundaries are. He told the sun exactly when you rule. And he told the moon and the stars exactly when you rule. The whole system of nature. If you speak to a farmer will tell you that if you do not plant in the springtime, then nothing is going to grow in the summertime, no matter what, if you stand on your head. So these are all gzeiros, all decrees. He created the Maaseh Bereishis by decree. This is the Din, this is the Mishpat. But he wanted the whole world to work that way. But he saw it couldn't last. So he had to bring in Rachamim also. But his Tchilas Machshava, his first thoughts were to make a world of decree. Therefore, when we talk about sustaining the world, we first have to speak about sustaining the world with Mishpat. And this is why the first teachings of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola were Hevi Mesuni Medina, had to do with the exercise of Mishpat. And the reason for this is because this is what gives the world its structure. If you do not have Din and Mishpat, you do not have a structure. You do not have a structure to work with. There are no parameters. What gives world and life boundaries and parameters and structure is the Hanogas HaMishpat. Why did they say Misunim B'din? You should be patient with the Din. Because the Mishpat is so deep and so much above the person. A person cannot come to it right away. When we approach something which is far above us, we have to approach it very slowly. That's why it's always brought that when a person grows, if you notice, a person grows slowly. And especially when he grows and he matures in Torah or in levels of Yiras Hashem, Avas Hashem, Fear Hashem, to love Hashem, it all has to be done step by step, slowly, slowly. The Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, consistently writes about this. Don't try to jump, because if you jump, you will fall. He will bring psukim from Mishle on that, where Shlaima Melech says, be careful not to jump, because if you jump, you fall. Just like a child grows physically, little by little, and he learns how to walk little by little. He learns how to sit, and he learns how to stand. He learns how to walk, and he learns how to talk that way. That's how one must grow in Torah and in Avodah, and serving Hashem. And therefore, to come to the Mishpat, when the Dayonim, the case is brought to the judges, if they'll jump right away, now they won't reach it. They have to take it slow. Many times, the fact is, in the world, they praise if someone can answer something right away. Who's good? Someone that can answer something right away. If you see the talk shows, you've got 5 seconds to answer, maybe 3 seconds to answer. As far as the Chazal is concerned, that's a galim, because it says that the Midas HaChochem is Eino Nivel Oshiv, that when someone says, I'd like to think about it, that's the sign of a Chochem. Try to do that on a talk show. When someone answers immediately, it says that's the sign of a Galim, that's the sign of a fool. So that's why when it comes to the Mishpat, the Anshei Knesset Agdolah said, have him a Sunim Medin, don't answer right away. Fact is, the Gemara says there, even if the identical case was brought before you once before, and you say, yes, you know this case, you had it exactly before. Exactly. This one said that, and that one said this, and this one said that. Don't answer. Don't answer. But why not? I know the answers. Don't answer. Wait. Turn it over in your mind. Think about it. Give it time. Because you'll see, or you might see, that was so simple to you right now, couple hours later, or a couple days later, oh, I have a different perspective on this now. Because we're dealing with things of enormous depth. When you talk about shallow water, that you can jump in right away. You're talking about deep water. It takes a long time to come to the bottom. So that's why they said, first, your first job is to sustain the world. You want to sustain the world, you have to sustain the structure, the parameters of the world. And that's the Mishpat. And how do you come to a Din Emes? Have him a Sunim Medin. Slowly. You have to slowly be able to reach to it. And that cannot be done with one jump. Now it's very good what the Gemara brings. Menoha Milsa, how do we know what the Chachomim said, have you Mesuni Medin? And they bring it because it says, Leisale Bemalos Al Mizbechi. When the Kohen went up to the Mizbeach, to the altar, he was going up to a very high level. And of course, Baruch Hu didn't want him to go by steps, which are big steps. He was supposed to take small steps, because you cannot go up to that level so quickly. From there we learned, Hevi Mesuni Medin. This principle we once brought, not long ago, on Hanukkah, from Beis Hillel. Shammai said that you light the 8 candles the first night, because the miracle was not that the candle lasted for so long. The miracle, as we explained then, is that the candle reached the level of 8 nights of burning. So to show this, Shammai says you light the candle 8 candles the first night, and Beis Hillel says no. Malin Bekodesh. Malin Bekodesh means you start small and you slowly add till you reach it. First you light the first candle, then the second candle, then the third candle, and then slowly you can come to that level. This is why it states in Obis, Perikei Mishnah Ches, Cherev ba le'olam, the sword comes to the world, al inui hadin, the ivus hadin, ba'hameirim betore shaleka alocha. When there is kilkul hadin, when there is not justice in the world, the courts are not doing their jobs, they are not giving forth perfect judgments, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the sword to the world. The sword to the world means war. Why? Because the greatest churban comes from war, the greatest destruction comes from war. And when there's a breakdown of the court system, of justice, this is a churban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. Because this was the parameters, this was the structure of his world. And Mido Keneged Mido. We said that the greatest corruption of law is war. But second, we said that the rendering of judgments is symbolized by a sword, because it cuts exactly at the right place. And it cuts clean. That's when it's used for good. If it's not used for good, heaven forbid, it comes as a curse. We also find in Parshas Noach, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Kodesh Baruch Hu said that the world was full, of all kind of avedas. Avedas Zorah, idolatry, Hashchoso, all types of deviations from the norms, immorality, and chomos. Chomos is gezel, theft. Then it states, Ket kol boso bo lefonai ki malea kol oretz chomos mipnehem. Hashem said that the end of all flesh has come before me, because the world is full of theft, chomos, theft and gangsterism. So Rashi brings to the Gemara, Leinechtam gzadinam el alagezel. Even though the world was full of all types of other major problems, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gzadin, his decree to destroy the world, came because of the chomos, of the theft and the gangsterism. And the reason for this, Rashi brings it, because the gazlonim, the thieves, and you gangsters destroy Hashem's world. Therefore he brings churban. And this is kilkul hadin. This is the gangsterism is the destruction of din. And once the din is broken and the world was created through this, then comes churban, comes destruction to the world. The Gemara also says, in our parsha here, it states that Moshe would sit and judge the nation from morning till night. Rashi brings from the Gemara, he says, Efshalem el Cain, was he actually sitting from morning till night? Elokol dain shadom din emes lamita afilu shavachas. No, he wasn't sitting the whole day. But any dayan, any judge that gives forth a judgment which is emes lamita, in the ultimate of truth, even 1 hour, malalav akosim ki leisik b'teira kol hayom, it's as if he's learning Torah the entire day, uki ilanase shutiv laKadosh Baruch Hu b'maisa breishis, and it's as if he becomes a partner to Hashem in the creation of the world, as it states by Yerub, because here it says, Minaboker ara erev, from morning till night. And in the creation of the world, there also it says consistently, Vayera Vayboker, it was night and it was day. Now, the Maral in the Guraye brings from the Balaturim that the Balaturim writes in the beginning to Sefer Cheshen Mishpot. This is the section of Shulchan Aruch which deals with Din and Mishpot. He writes that because the Gazlonim destroy the world, and because the courts and the judges are the ones who prevent, or supposed to be preventing, the Gazlonim from destroying the world, so they become a shutef, a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the creation of the world. Because his greatest enemies are these Gazlonim and gangsters. So the court system that prevents them from destroying the world are partners with Hashem in the creation of the world. This is what the Baal HaTorim writes. The Maral merely adds on that. He says, but what about if you're giving judgment not between gangsters, but you render judgments between two righteous people? Righteous people also have disputes. They have to come to Beis Din. So he says, but that casts a fear on the Gazlonim. When they see that everything has to be controlled by justice and by right and wrong, this casts a fear even on the Gazlonim. But then he goes one step further. Not only that you're preventing the Gazlonim from destroying the world, but you are bringing out into the world Din and Mishpot. And that's the substance which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with. Created the world with Din and Mishpot, like we said. That his first thoughts were to create a world based on Din and Mishpot. And if there is no Din and Mishpot, then the world will collapse. I would suggest, if people have time, they should take a look at what the Torah writes at the beginning of Cheshen Mishpat, because he goes on a great elaboration. We don't have time to go through it all, but I would just like to quote some of it. He writes, "Shim Gamliel Aimer, Al Gimel Dvorim Ha'ilam Kayim." Shim Gamliel said, this is the last Mishnah in the first chapter of Pirkei Avos. The world, on three things the world is sustained: Din, Emes, and Shalom. He brings from Rabbeinu Yonah, he says the first Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, or not the first one, but the second one, right after Anshei Knesset Agdola, it says Shimon HaTzadik, Koyim Mishiyorei Anshei Knesset Agdola. Shimon HaTzadik was the last of the Anshei Knesset Agdola. Who Haya Emek Gimel Dvorim? He said that the world was created for Torah and Avodah and Gemilas Chasodim. So he explains, Rabbeinu Yonah, that the world was created for three purposes: that of Torah and Avodah and Gemilas Chasod. That's what it was created for. But what sustains the world, what keeps it from becoming destroyed, he said, is Din, Emes, and Shalom. These three attributes. And he explains, because through Din, through the Dayonim, if they would not render judgments and do their duty, then it would be called Olam Gavar. The strongest would reign. The world would be hefker. And no matter what the world was created for, it wouldn't be sustained. Emes, if there would be no Emes in the world, it states then sheker ein lo raglayim. The world's going to be full of sheker, full of falsehood, it'll collapse. Because the Chazal tell us falsehood collapses. It has no feet to stand on. And Shalom, if there's no Shalom in the world, then it also cannot be a world. As it states, having mispalel b'shlemi shel machus, we should always pray for the peace of the government. Shel mole meire malchus, we should always pray for the peace and the welfare of the government. Because if the government is not a successful government, and therefore it casts no fear on the citizens, then ishes reu chaim bolu, then one swallows up his fellow man alive, becomes like the fish in the sea. And then he goes on to say that this is what it states, that every judge that exercises his judgments in ultimate of justice, he becomes a partner with Hashem in the creation of the world, because he's stopping the gazlonim from destroying the world. And then he brings what we brought from Nayach. You see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu only sealed the decree to destroy the world in the days of Noach because of the gangsters and the thieves. And then he says, he brings that the first one to walk in the ways of Mishpat and to teach it to his children was Avraham Avinu. And Hashem called him my beloved, because Hashem said, "Yedativ laman asher yitzav es bonav es beis achrob, v'shomru derech Hashem lase stoko mishpot." I have brought Avraham close to me because I know he will teach his household after me how to do tztoka and mishpot, justice. Then he brings Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was Rabin Golan Avim, the greatest prophet. Lokach Atzis Yisroi. And he accepted the counsel of Yisroi in regards to the Mishpat, Lahamid Sheftim, that there comes the foresight where we are to set up courts. The Gemara says, Bechol Medina, Medina, Bechol Plachu, Plachu, Bechol Ir, Ir. Every state and every district and every city must have ample courts in order that the deen, the mishpat, can be exercised. In other words, the judges must be accessible. We'll talk about that a little more in a minute or two, but today one of the big problems of Western society is they've coined a new phrase, how much justice can you afford? Because judges are totally inaccessible today. Till you get to the courts, it can take you months and months, if not years, to get some cases heard, and it can cost you a fortune to the point where many, many people can't afford. So they have the phrase, how much justice can you afford? This is not the way of the Torah. We were commanded that there must be botei dinim, bechol medina, bechol ir, bechol plach, bechol plach, bechol ir. Totally accessible. We'll speak in a minute of how many judges Moshe appointed. And then he goes on to talk about Yeshua, that Yeshua upheld the Mishpat, and then Dovid HaMelech upheld the Mishpat, and he goes all the way through. It's a long elaboration to his great works on the Choshen Mishpat, this on judgments. Now, when we speak of Mishpat, we have to realize what we're talking about. And what we're talking about, contrary to the way people think that, look, you have to do what's right. Now the question is, what's right though? What's right? And people are very wishy-washy. Well, what's right, we'll see. Now, the Mishpat is the ultimate, like we said, in the Yosher, in what's just and perfect. And there is no leeway. You cannot go to the right or to the left. When you have two parties in front of you, and there's a dispute, there's only one judgment, and that's the one which is perfectly right. And that's why they always have the symbol of justice someone holding a scale. Just like a scale. A scale works with gzeiros, with decrees. You want to balance the scale, there's only one way you can balance it. That's how the justice must be balanced. And it's the iskabrus of the seichel al halev. It's the exercising of the superiority of the intelligence that was given to man to study the yashrus of the Torah, to study the uprightness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu over man's heart. When it comes to the judgments, he's not allowed to use his heart. He has to use his seichel. People say, what do you mean you're not allowed to use your heart? I'll explain why. We have many, many prohibitions for a dayan. For example, it states, Ein marach min bedin. He's not allowed to show compassion in the din. I can't show compassion and say, listen, I feel sorry for this guy, and therefore I'll tip the scales a little in his favor. That's a kilkul hadin. You have destroyed what is just. Rachmonis comes from the heart. You have to go after the seichel hayoshur. Lo sehadu dol bedin is a prohibition. A poor man comes and a rich man comes. And I say, look, it's not right that the poor man should have to fork out money to the rich man. He's got plenty of money. So I'll push it in the favor of the poor man. In such a case, that dayan is disqualified. He's no longer a dayan. He's a ganef. He's stealing money from the rich man. He has to pask in the deen the way it is. Afterwards, if the judgment is in favor of the poor man, that's what he in favor of the rich man, then that's the deen. Afterwards, after he gets his money, he can go to the rich man and say, maybe you should do a chesed, maybe you should do a tzedakah, help him out. But that's not in the court. That's not in the deen. It states, leisakir ponim. The judge is not allowed to recognize between two people. Two people come before him. It says he has to look at both as if they're both guilty. They're both lying. And let each one prove which one is true. He cannot say, well, look, this one, I know he's got a good reputation. This other one, I don't know. I'll believe what he says, but I won't believe what he says. Then he's disqualified. L'sikach sheichad. He's not allowed to accept any favors from any individual. Ki asheichad ya'avir einei chachomim v'yisalev divrei tzadikim. Because he has to paskin with his eyes, with what he sees. And once he accepts a favor, that blinds the eyes. It has to be total objectivity. And that blinds the eyes even of the wise and even of the righteous. Bishoftu es ha'am mishpat tzedek. The Targum says, din d'kshayt. This is in Parsha Shaftim. You shall judge the nation a mishpat which is the ultimate of truth. Le'saguru mipnei ish. Anytime someone comes and I'm afraid of this person because of his strength or because of his reputation or his influence. Le'saguru mipnei ish. You must not fear any man ki amishpat lelakim, because mishpat belongs to Hashem. And that's why Yisrael told Moshe, look for anshei chayil. Many times it was good that a judge should be wealthy, because then he's not interested in money. Anshe emes seine betza. People who are not interested in gain. These are the many azoras. And the halacha is that a seine ohov is possible to die. If two people come before a judge and one is an enemy of his, he has to recuse himself. He has to walk. He can't say, I cannot judge this case. If one is a good friend of his, he has to step out. He says, I cannot judge this case. How can I give a deen embassy if one is a friend of mine and one is not? Just total contrary to popular opinion. Because he's makir upon him. two people come and one's a good friend, the other person I don't know, I can't bask in this thing. I'm disqualified because I lose my total objectivity. And it says, Amishpat Lelaki. And that's a kilkul to the deen. This is what Mishpat was to Moshe Rabbeinu and the courts. And therefore, the reason for this is because all of these things that we mentioned, Abo, you have a love for a particular person. Sino, you have a hate for a particular person. Chemdo, you have a desire. Or Yira, you have a fear. That's in the lave, that's in the heart. These are good qualities, but not in the courtroom. When it comes to the Dayonim, there it's Ein Ladayin Alamash Ein Abrais. He has to see, he has to listen, and then cut it like a sword, the total objectivity of it. And nothing else can come into the picture. And if he does, it's the clawing, the curses are enormous on that dying. See? A judge that was Makalpul, the curses in the Torah are enormous. And we see what kind of world we live in. You see what the consequences are. This is why it states by in Parshas Shemos, Parshas Shemos, Perek Dalet, Posuk Yud Dalet, Hashem was speaking to Moshe by the burning bush. For days he was trying to convince him to go to Egypt and to bring the people out. And Moshe gave this reason and that reason, he wouldn't go. What was bothering Moshe? What really was bothering Moshe was that he felt he would upset his brother Aaron. Because Aaron was a great person. He also was a prophet. And he was his older brother. And how would it look that here Moshe was being chosen as the leader and the king of Israel, that he is chosen as the leader over his younger brother Aaron? Finally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he realized that, he said as follows. He says, Hinei hu yetze likrasecho. What are you worried about? He will, when you go to Mitzrayim, he will come out to meet you. V'roacho. And he will see you v'somach b'libay, and he will rejoice in your appointment to greatness. Not that he will be envious. He will be sad or depressed over your appointment. And that's how it was. When Aaron came out to meet him, it states, Roach of Esomach Beliboy. He was rejoiced over the greatness that was attained by his younger brother. Because I'll tell us that Aaron was to become the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol wore Shmeina Begodim, eight garments. And the most precious of those garments was the Cheshen Mishpat. Was the Cheshen, the breastplate. It had on it 12 most beautiful, rare, valuable stones. And each stone was inscribed a name of a shevet of a tribe. And that breastplate was called Choshen HaMishpat, the breastplate of judgment. Why? Because it was Mechaper al Kilkul Hadin. All the garments that the Kohen Gadol would wear were a kapora, they atoned for the sins of Klal Yisrael. And who atoned for the sins of Klal Yisrael, for the judges who erroneously, not it wouldn't atone if they did it intentionally, but erroneously if they did not render perfect judgment. Where was the atonement? When Aaron would wear the Choshen. That's why it was called Choshen HaMishpat. Now the question is, what did Aaron do to merit the wearing of this Choshen? So Rashi brings that since Aaron was raw v'somach b'libay, he saw and he rejoiced in his heart, Zocha Aaron le'adi acheshen anosun alalev. He was zeicher to the beautiful jewels obligation which was placed on his heart. He says, not like you think that he will be angry with you because you have gained a greater place than he has. And from there he was zeicher to the choshen. What is the explanation? Because justice comes from a person using the intelligence and the seichel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to man, which he draws from the Torah. We study the Torah and we see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds is upright. We study the Torah, we study Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, we study Choshen Mishpat. There we see exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds is right and wrong, what is Yosher and what is Kilgul. That comes from the Seichel. The lave, the heart, destroys that. Like it says, Leisasur achrei levavchem, do not be drawn after your heart. Why? Because in the heart is hatred. From the heart comes love. It states, Avo mekalkeles ashura. Mekalkeles es ashura. When a person loves someone, he doesn't only give him his due, he gives him more than his due. A father, a mother, she wants to give a child, she's not going to say, this is what's yours and I'm giving you. Gives with an open heart. A father can never be a judge to judge a case between the son and someone else. Hasina mekalkeles es ashura. Hatred destroys what is upright. Try to judge a case, try to see it objectively if your enemy is involved. If from the heart comes kino, jealousy, chemdo, desire, shechad. If I can pass in a case and I know if I'll do it in his favor, he'll give a big donation to the yeshiva, I'm disqualified. I can't see it objectively. Disqualified. So it's the lev which is mekalkel the yesha, the mishpat. So who can atone on Kilkul HaMishpat? Only someone who has a perfect heart that will not overrule his seichel. And that was Aaron. Because Aaron's seichel told him to rejoice when his younger brother was chosen for Gedula. But his heart told him to be angry and envious over the fact that his younger brother was chosen instead of him. And he went and he saw and he somach beliboy, he rejoiced in his heart. That showed that Aaron had a perfect heart and that would not be makalkal, not destroy the seichel. Therefore he was zeicher to wear the cheshen mishpat on his heart that would bring atonement to the kilkal hadin, to the distortion of judgments that was done erroneously by the judges. Unfortunately, today we live in a world not of din and mishpat, but of kilkul hadin, kilkul hamishpat, the distortion and destruction of all judgment. And this is why we see cherev bol ha'olam. We live in a world of swords, of war. The Western world does not understand that the first priority is HaMishpat. This gives substance, kiyum, sustains, parameters, boundaries to the world and to people. You can see the lack of priority, and right now South Africa is suffering from this in particular. You see the lack of priority they give this. Is when it comes to safety and beshetering, that we are supposed to appoint judges, we are supposed to appoint law enforcement agencies, This is always way down on the priority list. The fact is, if we calculate here how many judges Moshe's appointed for Klal Yisrael, he appointed, it states, one for every 1,000, and then one for every 100, and then one for every 50, and then one for every 10. And this adds up, and this is what the Gemara in Sanhedrin brings enough, Yud Ches, so adds up to 78,600 judges. Moshe appointed through the eights of Yisrael. 78,600. And this is, so it was totally accessible to everyone. And that the judges could maintain law and order. And today, we have such a kilkul, where the lines between right and wrong are totally blurred. We have situations today where we show compassion to murderers and we show cruelty to the victims. Compassion to the gangsters and cruelty to the victims. We have a situation today where the Western world yells, heaven forbid you should give the death penalty to a murderer, heaven forbid. At the same time they close their eyes to the fact that he's given the death penalty to some poor victim who is innocent. Yeah, but that's all right. But heaven forbid that you should give the death penalty to someone who is guilty. And then at the same time, the same constitutions, the same legislatures, the same congresses, the same parliaments can say that heaven forbid you shouldn't allow the death penalty to be given to innocent embryos that are to be born. In other words, try to kill a serial murderer or a terrorist, you'll see what kind of response you get. Try to say that a woman doesn't have a right to kill her own baby, you'll see what kind of response you'll get. This is how far the Kilkul Hadin has gone. And this is why the world looks like it does. But this is not what the Torah meant. And therefore it states, Kol Dayan Shadon Din Emes La'Amitoi, every judge that renders a judgment which is in the ultimate light of justice and truth, Nasashutav Yom HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Maaseh Bereishis, he becomes a partner to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the creation of the world, because he is sustaining the world. This is what we can learn from this passage.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.